elevator in my building was broken again, so I had to walk up like 17 flights of stairs, even the ones that go outside, and there was just like some baby standing in the staircase, and he's literally wearing a pamper, nothing else. I mean, how ghetto is that?
Did you call the cops?
Oh, as if. I freaking took out my phone to dial 911, and the baby literally said to me, "Snitches get stitches, bitch."
The following has been rated PC for politically correct.
Pay attention, you just may learn something.
It's the Sage, Larry Elder.
We're going to be getting into the death of George Floyd, the man who was handcuffed face down. An officer had his knee on his neck for what appears to have been 5 minutes. Other officers standing around not doing anything. The man ultimately died. Four officers fired. The Fraternal Order of Police has issued a statement condemning the killing of George Floyd. This reminds me of the time we saw that footage of Rodney King getting the crap beaten out of him by those officers. I don't recall a single officer who said this is the way it's supposed to be done. A single officer who justified it. Not one. Not one officer, so far that I can tell, expert in use of force, former officer, former police chief, not one has said, yep, this is how we do it. Not one. And my point is, you're going to riot for 2 days when nobody is defending this, when the four officers have been arrested, when state, local, feds are investigating, when the mayor is a liberal Democrat, when the chief of police is a Hispanic slash black man, when the city has had a tradition of progressivism, and you're rioting for 2 days? Virtually every single one of these major cities is run by a Democrat. All of them. Chicago, Democrat. New York, Democrat. L.A., Democrat. Philadelphia, Democrat. Of the top 50 cities, maybe 12 of them might be run by Republicans. The rest of them are Democrats. They hire the police chiefs. City council's full of Democrats. Take Baltimore, where there were riots after the death of Freddie Gray. You have a city that had a black mayor, still does, different one, but a black mayor. The top two officials running the police department were black. Every single member of city council, Democrat, majority black. Six officers were charged, three of them black. The state attorney who brought the charges against the officer, black. A judge in front of two of the officers tried their cases, black. At the time, the U.S. attorney, black. At the time, the president of the United States, black. And as comedian Wanda Sykes once said, when Obama was running, how are you going to complain about the man when you are the man? Now, when are you going to take responsibility, Democrats? These are not Trump people, Trump supporters. Speaking of which, remember that woman who called 911 because the, quote, African-American man was threatening her? Turns out, big Democrat, gave money to Obama, gave money to other Democrats. Big Democrat. Bigot. Bigot. But a Democrat bigot. Hashtag liberal bigots. What did I tell you about them? I like to read World War II history. And you know, there were a number of Japanese fighters that were in the thick jungles of Burma years after the war was over. They were unaware it was over. And while leaflets were dropped to apprise people that the war was over, they thought that these leaflets were a trick. And so for years, there were some soldiers in the jungles of Burma unaware that the war had long been over. I feel that way when I watch media coverage of these cop shootings. You cover it like it's Armageddon. You act like this is the 1950s. You're acting like this, like towns are being led by people like Bull Connor.
You've got to keep the white and the black separate. Let the law enforcement agencies, that's what you've got them hired for. And the governor of the state of Alabama.
That is Bull Connor. His official title is Superintendent of Public Safety, Birmingham, Alabama, Democrat.
I'm listening. Now, George asked me to ask you to do that. Do him one favor. Tell your friends when you leave here between now and Tuesday. Don't go up there. Leave it alone. They're going to handle this situation. Just leave it alone. You know, those candidates, up there in Washington, that little old Bobby Sox and his brother the president, they'd give anything in the world if we had some trouble here. If we don't have any trouble, we can beat them at your own game.
There is no mayor who sounds anything like that today. Couldn't get elected. What did Chris Matthews say? The truth is that white people will not vote for somebody if they think he's a bigot. Admitted it. Which means it would not be in Donald Trump's best interest for him to send a dog whistle to the bigots. 8 years of Obama. 8 years of Eric Holder. Of Loretta Lynch. How come this so-called systemic racism is still here? Freddie Gray dies. In come the DOJ. We're going to do an investigation. No civil rights charges filed. You know why? Because there were no civil rights violations. Tamir Rice, 12-year-old with the replica gun, twirling it around, blown away by a cop. We're going to investigate and find out whether or not there are any civil rights charges to be assessed. No charges. You know why? Because his civil rights weren't violated. Eric Gardner, man in New York, died when a bunch of officers were using what some called an unauthorized chokehold. Investigation. Obama administration. No civil rights charges. No civil rights charges against George Zimmerman. I know he wasn't a law enforcement officer, but you can still violate somebody's civil rights by not when you're not a law enforcement officer. No charges brought. Reminds me of when these celebrities get outed on some scandal in National Enquirer and they make a big public display about suing. We're going to sue. And then very quietly, they don't do anything because quite often there's a great deal of substance to what the National Enquirer wrote. And this is driven by the media. 5 years ago, I wrote a column about 1 week in which four black cops were killed in 7 days, different places around the country. And I said, where's the outrage? Wednesday, March 4, 2014. Fulton County Police Detective Terrence Avery Green was killed, shot in the head by a suspect. The chief described the situation as an ambush. Next day, Officer Robert Wilson III, while on duty in uniform, walked into a game store to purchase a gift for his son. Two men robbed the store, shot and killed Officer Wilson. 8-year veteran, he stepped away from others to keep them from out of the crossfire, the police said. Died a hero. March 7, police officer Brennan Raban killed while trying to make a traffic stop on a speeding driver. He'd been off duty, but when he initiated the traffic stop, he went back on duty, the police said. 3 days later, March 10, Deputy U.S. Marshal Josie Wells, I'm not making it up, that's his name, 27 years old, killed in a shootout near Baton Rouge, Louisiana, as he tried to apprehend a fugitive accused of killing a brother and a sister. This happened over a period of 7 days, 1, 2, 3, 4 officers, all of whom happened to be black, and if it's the first time you're hearing about it, that's what I'm talking about. Media drives this. They didn't give a rip. Can you imagine what would have happened had four unarmed black men been killed over a period of 7 days? Good Lord, let's march on Washington. You know, we were talking about this woman in Central Park who called 911 because, quote, an African-American man was threatening her. And the guy was simply using his smartphone. He had asked her to put a leash on her dog, and she refused, and he made a comment that she thought was threatening and just went ballistic. And several people tweeted, she must be a Trump supporter. See, this is what leads to Trump. This is a Trump country. Turns out she's giving money to Democrats, including Barack Obama. Now, what made her refer to the gentleman's race so quickly? What did it have to do with anything? And what does that say about the mind of a left-wing person who is a progressive who donates money to these politicians like Barack Obama, how they truly feel about blacks?
I would like for you to ease up off the black man, Larry.
Larry, you think that these white people like you. Let me tell you something. They really don't. I had that heard all my life. Like, I care. I'm not voting for a fishing buddy. But it turns out the guys you think are on your side, maybe they're not so much on your side. Do you really believe that blacks can't compete because without affirmative action?
Yeah, I think a lot of our people on my side do feel that way. Pass the vodka.
And we don't have time for charlatans, and we don't have time for flim-flam.
We are in a big, fat, ugly bubble.
The following has been rated PC for politically correct.
Pay attention, you just may learn something.
It's the Sage, Larry Elder.
You know, there's something that's done every 3 years by the Department of Justice's Bureau of Justice Statistics. It's called the Police Public Contact Survey. And every 3 years, they ask more than 60,000 people about their interactions with the cops. It asks to provide age, race, gender. And they ask whether you had any contact with the police in the last year. And if so, what was your experience like? How were you treated? Was there a use of force? So forth. They can't find any pattern of abuse. And then there's the argument that blacks are arrested unfairly. It had nothing to do with the crime. They were just busted because they were black. There's something called the National Crime Victimization Survey that the government has been doing for years. It asks victims of crimes whether or not the criminal was captured. And as you know, many times the criminal is not captured. As to the race and ethnicity of the suspect. It turns out that the race of those arrested matches the percentage given by the victims. So unless the victims are lying about the race of their assailant, unconcerned about whether the real assailant is going to get caught, you know, a white guy did it, I'll just say a black guy did it, then black guys are not being over-arrested. 2009. Department of Justice did a study, felony defendants in large urban counties, and talked about the disproportionate amount of crime committed by blacks. Quote, in the country's 75 largest counties, blacks committed 62% of the robberies, 45% of the assaults, and accounted for 57% of murder defendants, end of quote. DOJ. By the way, I often get emails from people saying, you said that there are 500,000 non-homicide violent acts of interracial crime between blacks and whites every given year, and that 85 to 90% of them involve a black perp and a white victim? Where'd you get that? FBI. Uniform crime stats. They're all available. Look them up. Not making it up. And contrary to the Black Lives Matter narrative, as Heather McDonald says, cops have a way more to fear from a black male than the other way around. In 2015, a police officer was 18.5 times more likely to be killed by a black male than an unarmed black male was to be killed by a cop. Hello? Adjusting for the population? You're talking about a figure that shows individual blacks are some 12 times more likely to kill a white person as the other way around. Most homicides or same-race homicides. But there are some interracial black-white homicides. And in recent years, it's been about 750. 500 whites killed by blacks, 250 blacks killed by whites. So you're talking about a population of 13% of the population committing twice as many crimes against whites as whites commit against blacks, with a population of around 60% or more of the population. Meaning that an individual black is 12 times more likely to kill a white person than the other way around. Is this thing on? And a Department of Justice study of the Philadelphia police force in 2015 found that black officers were 67% more likely than white officers to mistakenly shoot an unarmed black suspect. Hispanic officers were 145% more likely than white officers to do so. Whether lower hiring standards are responsible, we don't know. But those are the facts. So knock it off. It is rare. What's less rare, unfortunate, is what happened in Chicago last weekend. 10 people killed, 49 shot. Another man I admire a great deal is Walter Williams, also an economist, former chair of the economics department at George Mason University. And he wrote a piece in January called Unappreciated Crime Costs. He says leftists and social justice warriors charge that blacks have to fear most is being shot and killed by the police. Quote, but the numbers don't add up. For the last several years, the Washington Post has been documenting police shootings on America. Last year, 933 people were shot and killed by the police. 23%, 212 of the people shot and killed were black. 35%, 331 were white. 16% were Hispanic. 201 were of unknown races. The high homicide rate, Williams writes, within the black community doesn't begin to tell the full tragedy. Crime imposes a hefty tax on people who can least afford it. They are the law-abiding residents of black neighborhoods. Residents must bear the time, cost, and other costs of having to shop outside of their neighborhoods. Supermarkets that are abundant in low-crime neighborhoods are absent or scarce in high-crime, low-income neighborhoods. Because of the lack of supermarkets and other big-box stores in these neighborhoods, some experts and academicians have labeled them as food deserts. By the way, they are equal opportunity criminals, Williams writes. They will victimize a black-owned business just as they would victimize a white-owned business. By the way, did you see that video of those black men standing in front of a store with firearms defending the store? Williams writes, quote, in low-crime neighborhoods, FedEx, UPS, and other delivery companies routinely leave packages containing valuable merchandise on a doorstop if there no one's home. That saves the expense of redelivery, saves recipients the expense of having to go and pick it up and so forth. In high-crime neighborhoods, he says, delivery companies leaving packages at the door or supermarkets leaving goods outside unattended would be equivalent to economic suicide. Fearing robberies, taxi drivers, including black drivers, often refuse to accept telephone calls for home pickups and frequently pass prospective black customers who hail them on the streets. Plus, there's the insult associated with not being able to receive pizzas or other deliveries on the same terms as other people in other neighborhoods. An often overlooked impact of crime, he writes, is lower property values. Homes that wouldn't fetch 10, 20, or 40 suddenly fetch hundreds of thousands when large numbers of middle and upper middle class people purchase formerly run down properties and fix them up. It's called gentrification, where wealthier, predominantly white people bid higher rental prices, thus forcing out low income residents. As a result, there is greater police protection and other neighborhood amenities increase. Many make the erroneous assumption, he writes, that black people don't care about crime. But black people strongly disapprove of the day-to-day violence that's all too common in their neighborhoods. What compounds this problem is a deep mistrust of police in poor black neighborhoods. This distrust, along with the fear of reprisals by black criminals, causes an atmosphere of non-cooperation with the police. It creates the stop snitching principle. The principle of snitches being worse than criminals themselves only makes the crime problem in black communities worse by giving aid and comfort to the true enemies of the community, those who prey on the community and have little fear of being brought to justice. In some cities, less than 10% of murders are ever charged. Quote, for decades, the problems of blacks, he writes, could be laid at the feet of racial discrimination. Our ancestors started a civil rights struggle and they won. Today, the most devastating problems of blacks are entirely self-inflicted, such as high illegitimacy, family breakdown, and unsafe communities. These problems have little to do with civil rights, but as long as blacks buy into the notion that white racism is a source of their problems, these solutions will be elusive forever. Now, while you were paying attention to what was going on in Minneapolis, other things were happening. 10 people killed Memorial Day weekend in Chicago, 49 shot, the most violent weekend they've had since 2015. And this is with a stay-at-home order. Year to year, more shootings and more deaths in that city than last year. Hear about this one? This is May 10. Man, 43, charged with murdering his former neighbor after he allegedly terrorized the father of four for months and eventually forced the family to move. Jamal Thomas, 43, charged in the brutal murder of 44-year-old Miles Armstead in Oakland, California. By the way, all parties black. Flint, Michigan, security guard killed over face mask dispute, father of nine. We've been talking about this. Security guard tells a woman you have to have a mask on, tells her to leave the store. She doesn't want to put it on. She leaves, comes back. Husband and son come back, shoot the guy in the back of the head. He's dead. was a father of nine. All parties black. May 9, black male hunts and assassinates elderly white couple in Delaware cemetery with scoped rifle. A married couple, white, age 85 to 86, were visiting the grave of their son. Suspect was described as a heavyset black male, rifle carrying a scope. Later on, the suspect was found in a wooden area. Shootout with the police. Suspect was found deceased with gunshot wounds. Black male hunts and assassinates an elderly white couple visiting their veteran son in a veteran cemetery, age 85, 86. Did you hear about it? Had it been the other way around, we know their names. We know where they live. New study, National Academy of Sciences, no epidemic of racist police shootings. Data not there. Again, are there individual cops? Can we talk about better training? Absolutely. But institutional, systemic, structural, it is bull and it's getting people killed. Now, Biden is now saying that, well, Charlemagne the God was the one who was being a smart blank. Wasn't me. It was Charlemagne.
Thanks so much. That's really our time. I apologize.
You can't do that to black media.
I can't do that to white media and black media because my wife has to go on at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Oh, I'm in trouble.
Listen, you got to come see us when you come to New York, VP Biden.
I will.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
It don't have nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the fact I want something for my community. I would love to see
you. Take a look at my record, man. I extended the voting rights 25 years. I have a record that is second to none. The NAACP has endorsed me every time I've run. Come on. Take a look at the record.
All right. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Anyway, thanks. I will come back.
All right.
I look forward to seeing you in person.
Okay, absolutely.
Okay, pal. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, Charlemagne.
NAACP put out a statement, immediately said we've never endorsed him in any election, local, state, or federal, and we don't because we're a 501c3. And now Biden says, well, when I said if you don't know whether you want Trump or me, you ain't black, I meant him, not all blacks. Oh, I see. So Charlemagne the God is not black if he doesn't know whether or not he wants Trump. So that's not insulting because you only meant that one guy, but the rest of the blacks, that's different. What's even worse?
That comment that you made a week ago that appeared to take black voters for granted. In light of these horrible events of the last week, it's important for black voters to know, which leader are you going to be?
The leader I've always been. I apologized immediately for responding to Charlemagne, who was baiting me. And if you looked at that film, you'll see I was smiling at him. And I was referring to him. I wasn't referring to all African Americans, but I should have never said it. I have never, ever, 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 ever taken the African-American community for granted. Mm-hmm. I have been their ally and they've been mine, and I've worked hard to earn every single vote I've ever gotten. And that's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm going to continue to do. No one should be taken for granted based on their race, religion, their background at all.
Okay.
No one.
We have a little bit.
There are many whites who are trying to sound the bump, but you never see them going under the label of liberals. That white person that you see calling himself a liberal is the most dangerous thing in the entire Western Hemisphere. He's the most deceitful. He's like a fox. And a fox is always more dangerous in the forest than the wolf. You can see the wolf coming. You know what he's up to. But the fox will fool you. He comes at you with his mouth shaped in such a way that even though you see his teeth, you think he's smiling and taking for a friend.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. Now, in practice, what does that mean? Well, it's the liberals that support the welfare state, that has incentivized women to marry the government and allowed men to abandon their financial moral responsibility, that has caused the number one problem in this country. And Republicans haven't done a whole lot better about it. And it's the left that does not want to do anything about illegal immigration. And I've told you about the study done by George Borjas, the Harvard economist, who says there's no question that unskilled illegal aliens put downward pressure on wages and compete for jobs that would otherwise go to inner city black people. And here you have the left-wing party, the party of the Democrats, the party that the blacks have been voting for 95% in recent years, supporting a policy that's detrimental to their own economic health. And don't get me started on school choice. polls showing that inner city parents, black and brown ones, want the idea of being able to get their kid out of an underperforming bad government school. And it's the white liberals in the Democratic Party that oppose school choice. Honestly. So who's on your side? Now, we post excerpts of my show every day on the new YouTube channel. It's called youtube.com/TheLarryElder Show Radio. Please Google that and then subscribe to the channel, and you'll be alerted every time we post something. And we put a couple of short clips up there every single day. Also, while you're there, be sure and check out my column, LarryElder.com, my weekly column.